Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Happy Wednesday to you. I'm Gary Zimak and we have got a great show for you today. Let's begin, as we do each day, with prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. Father, we ask you to continue to walk with us today. Help us to always remember your presence, no matter what we do, no matter what we face today. May all that we do throughout the day give glory to your name and attract other people closer to you. Please help us to face the challenges that we'll face today. Help us to also remember just how much you love us. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, welcome once again to Spirit in the Morning. Great to have you with us. We've got some great guests on the show. Coming up, our friend Tony Agnese, storyteller, blogger, podcaster, and all-around good guy, will be here to share some thoughts about fishing, of all things. Wait till you hear what Tony has to say. Also, Marty Rotella, singer, songwriter, good friend of the program. He's been in the studio with us live. He's going to be coming to the Malvern Retreat House for a special day of celebration, and we're going to be broadcasting live on that day. We'll tell you more about that later on in the hour. But Marty's going to be joining us from New Mexico. He's traveling. He's out in New Mexico today. He's going to be waking up early to join us. And as always, by my side, my co-pilot, my right-hand man, the one and only Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you for such an auspicious intro.
Dave, you got your Holy Spirit radio shirt on today. You are looking good.
I'm a team player, man. Right. I was moved to do that. So good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a great morning, whether you're brewing your coffee and you're still at home or you're en route to work or wherever you're going. Thanks for joining us.
It's great, isn't it, to be able to start our day? I love coming here, and
absolutely.
I know we get emails and letters all the time from people who enjoy listening to us. So it's great sharing our morning with our listeners.
Yeah, thanks for bringing us into your home or your car or your whatever vehicle you're driving. So maybe you're on the train. Maybe you're listening to us, have your little headsets on, whatever.
You can take us with you wherever you go.
Yeah, we're portable.
We are. Hey, Dave, right. I wanted to share some thoughts. Monsignor Charles Pope recently wrote an article, and I have it linked at spiritinthemorning.com. It's called More Parish Closings Nationwide. What are we to learn and do? Hmm. Dave, this is a very real problem, and I think you've been through parish mergers.
Yes, St. Francis Cabrini about 3-4 years ago now, and even the process started maybe even 5-6 years ago. We were in parish planning area under the 110 under the archdiocese, and we merged with St. Joe's in Levittown, basically St. Joseph the Worker.
And it's a tough, oftentimes it's a very tough process. And Monsignor Pope, I think, addresses this in a very, very interesting way, and I think he offers some very good suggestions. I just want to share a couple of his thoughts, and again, I'll have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. What he said was he'd like to offer some quick thoughts and then ponder what is the root cause for the decline. Because let's face it, Dave, we need to address this. We need to find out why our parishes are closing. Well, let me just look at what he says. The first thing he mentions is bishops don't close parishes. People do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ultimately, Monsignor Pope says, it is God's people who create or withdraw the need for a parish. The hard truth, and this is a hard truth, is that Catholics are contracepting and aborting in large numbers.
Wow.
Thus depleting our ranks.
Holy cow.
Right? I mean, we don't think about this.
Let's cut to the chase, huh?
Right. Yeah, he said the hard truth. But
yes.
And Monsignor Pope, he's an excellent writer. Excellent speaker. I've heard him many times. What he's saying is there's less Catholics.
Yes, absolutely.
That's not the bishop's fault. That's a hard fact. It's true.
This is true.
That's one thing. So that's one thing to keep in mind.
The population of Catholics has declined.
Yeah.
Is declining.
Right. Now, he mentions also some point out that the large numbers of Catholics have left the Northeast and headed south or west, which is a true statement. But he also mentions the deepest wounds are in the decline of mass attendance and our failure to hand on the faith. Listen to this. Again, very, very powerful line from Monsignor. We are currently burying the last generation to be taught that Sunday Mass was an obligation to be met under pain of mortal sin.
Right? Wow.
So, again.
He is hitting the brutal truth.
Right. Now, and Frank Lyson's here with us. Good morning, Frank. We had some technical issues, but they are resolved now?
Oh, yes, yes.
Good.
Of course they are, Gary. It's Frank.
But I'm glad.
That uplifting thing to walk into.
But this is, and ultimately, this is something for all of us to think about, because we're very quick to point fingers when parishes are closing, but the third point that Monsignor Pope makes is this: there is shared responsibility. It's easy to be angry at bishops and priests when parishes must be closed, he says. Years of poor catechesis, lack of effective preaching, and poorly celebrated liturgies have taken their toll. So he's not denying that the clergy bears some responsibility. However, dissent and division among the faithful and a drifting from the practice of the faith are also big factors. Frank, you talk about this a lot. We try to make this a point on this show. Dissent, division, finger-pointing, name-calling, you know, we bear some responsibility in this.
It's actually a problem at all levels of the faith, and it's something that, you know, we have to all pray about and really start to understand where people are coming from, you know, where decisions are being made. And, you know, everybody needs to look in the mirror on that.
Yep.
But
you also
go to church. What happens when you go to church? Look around. There's not that many people there. There's not many people going into the priesthood. They're not having a calling.
Or the diaconate.
Or the diaconate, for that matter, which, for those that want to know, May 19th is the deadline. put a plug in there for that.
Thank you,
Frank. For the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. But that all being said, you know, we are also a community. And every one of these churches is a community. The Catholic faith is a community. We grew up, well, not Dave, but, you know.
I'm a convert, but yes.
No, Gary and I grew up in the Philadelphia area.
Right.
The Archdiocese of Philadelphia, the schools packed with people.
Yes.
Every school was filled. You know, and now you go in, there's a few people in the schools, fewer people at Mass. You know, I grew up at Our Lady of Good Counsel. Think about this. You know, most churches today have, what, three Masses, maybe? We had a 6...
On Saturday, Sunday. On the weekend,
Yeah, we had a 5:45 a.m., a 6:45 a.m., 7:45 a.m., 9 a.m., a 10:15, a 10:35, an 11, an 11:30, and a 12:45 Mass just on Sunday alone. And, you know, today, hey, they don't even have the priest to do all that.
Right. I know.
But then, number two, they don't have a need to because people aren't going.
Right. Now, let's to your point, and that's an excellent point. Monsignor Pope says the heart of the problem is an overall malaise. There is little urgency. Few seem to feel the need for the faith, the church, the sacraments, or the word of God. And he follows up by saying this. And why am I reading this article, you might add? There's a point to this. At the end of the day, the clergy cannot take full responsibility for the problem, nor can they address it alone. Why? Because shepherds don't have sheep. Sheep have sheep. Evangelization cannot be just a problem for the rectory. It is ultimately a family problem. Guys, it's up to us. We need to, and this is why I wanted to talk about this. We need to share Christ with those around us. It starts in our families. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to make him real for people. He is real, but for so many people, he is not real, and they don't feel the need to go to Mass.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also a breakdown in the family, too.
Right.
I want to be honest about it. You know, over the years, you know, divorce rates, everything else, you know, have just expanded. You know, the other piece to all this, though, is we also have to be mindful of how we go about doing these
things.
And, you know, how we bring people in. You're not going to bring people in by going, you're bad, you're do this. That's not going to bring people, oh, I now need to follow the faith.
Right.
That's going to push people away from the faith. We need to actually show them the love and the mercy that Jesus professed.
Monsignor Pope's article was spot on, but how about the secular culture's influence in the mass media? I mean,
but that's,
I think that has a huge impact, you know, just over the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And it makes everything look, oh, we want to, and the advertising, we want this, we want
that's
that.
That's right.
And it affects people.
And you know what, Dave? That's why we're here. We're here to offer that counter message, the truth.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, we've got that, we're up against that, but here on Spirit in the Morning, we want to be positive. We want to be that voice, that light in the darkness to help people to know. So I will, again, I share that on spiritinthemorning.com. I think it's an important thing to remember. We do bear some responsibility. With that in mind, let me read the gospel today. And Jesus has some very good points. Obviously, Jesus always has good points. I mean, I'm sure he needed that.
Show me one he doesn't.
Yeah, Jesus probably said, well, that's really good. Gary thinks that I have some good points.
Insight there, Gary. Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Thanks for bringing that up. All right.
John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke, it will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own. But the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me. Jesus was sent to earth by the Father. He had a mission. He accomplished his mission. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. And in turn, guys, we are sent by Christ out into the world. Dave, you make a very good point. The world is a dark place. Mm-hmm. We are fighting against a very...
It can be.
It is. It is a dark place because the secular message is... go for all the pleasure you can, forget about God, everything has to be fun. And Frank, what you said too is absolutely key. We've got to share Jesus with a world that really needs to hear him, but we have to do it in a way that is an authentic representation of the message of Christ, which is love. It's not being nasty about it. It's not criticizing. It's not condemning. It's being inviting. Jesus invited sinners. We're all sinners. We're all invited, and that's what we have to do to others.
And the one thing I'll say is the world's pretty much always been a dark place in many ways.
Yes.
And, you know,
since the fall.
And correct. The other piece to that, though, is we're the ones who create the world in many ways. So if you don't like the way it is, change it. Mm-hmm. Change it in a positive way.
And that's why we're here, right, Gary?
Exactly.
Right,
and Frank? And Frank and Dave, it's very simple. Just go be nice to somebody today. Hold the door for somebody. Say hello. That's all you need to do. When we come back, Tony Agnese is going to be talking about fishing. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 10th. Today we celebrate Saint Damian of Molokai. When today's saint was born in Belgium in 1840, few people had firsthand knowledge of leprosy. By the time he died, almost 50 years later, the world was more familiar with the disease and its ravages. Joseph de Vuster took the name of the 4th century physician and martyr when he entered the seminary. When his priest brother was unable to go to the Hawaiian Islands because of illness, Damian volunteered to go in his place. 2 months after arriving in Honolulu in 1864, he was ordained a priest. 9 years later, Father Damian began working at a leper colony on the island of Molokai. Initially a temporary assignment, he volunteered to remain permanently, caring for the physical, medical, and spiritual needs of the patients. Over time, the settlement grew to include the needs of patients' families as well. Morale improved, too, when Damian succeeded in getting assistance from the Franciscan Sisters of Syracuse. Eventually, Father Damian contracted leprosy, dying in 1889. Upon attaining statehood in 1959, Hawaii chose a statue of him to represent them in the U.S. Capitol. Saint Damian was canonized 50 years later in 2009. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Catholic Charities Night with the Philadelphia Phillies takes place on Wednesday, June 14th at 7:05 p.m. at Citizens Bank Park. Plan a night out with family and friends and enjoy an evening benefiting the Catholic Charities appeal. Tickets go from $20 to $38, and to purchase those tickets, visit phillies.com/Catholic Charities Night. For more information, please call 215-587-5650. Again, that's Wednesday, June 14th at 7:05 p.m. at Citizens Bank Park.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone by Chris Tomlin. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Just want to remind you that on Monday, June the 19th, tradition, a celebration of the 25th anniversary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church will be coming to the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel. It's going to be from 8 a.m. through 5:30 p.m. We've got some unbelievable speakers, Dave Parker. Mm-hmm. We have Archbishop Charles Chaput.
Wow.
Jeff Cavins, Scott Hahn.
Holy cow.
Mother Assumpta Long, Matthew Bunsen, Deborah Savage, Jonathan Reyes, and if that's not enough,
and
Spirit in the Morning, you and me, Mr. Parker, and Frank, we will be broadcasting live from Tradition.
How wonderful.
Celebration of the 25th anniversary of the Catechism.
How awesome is
of
that?
The Catholic Church. Stay tuned for more information. This is sponsored by the Archdiocese. We'll give you more information as we get closer.
But you're so blessed.
Dave, that's going to be a big day. Big, big day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dave, did you ever wonder,
Gary.
Did you ever wonder, Mr. Parker, why it is that Jesus chose so many fishermen to evangelize?
Mm-hmm.
And why he has chosen us to do the same. Do you ever wonder about that?
Yeah, I do.
Well, you are in luck. Because
you were hoping I would say that.
With us on the phone is our friend Tony Agnese. He's a storyteller, an author, a blogger, a podcaster, a radio host. You can find him online at TonyAgnese.com. He's got some thoughts on this, and he's going to share his thoughts with us. Tony, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Gary. It's great to hear your voice. Yeah, I was listening to you guys earlier, and in your discussion, you mentioned that, you know, that it's our role as the laity to evangelize, too. Too often Catholics are passive. You know, we think that the priests and deacons are going to do all this. And it really, we're all called to be fishers of men.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a bass fisherman, this is my favorite time of the year because, the bass are spawning, things are happening. And I've often fished by myself, and you begin to think of why would Jesus not pick a bunch of PhDs
exactly
to be his apostles? Why would he pick fishermen? It makes me feel good because I'm not that smart, but I do fish. So I started thinking about the comparisons of fishermen and fishing for men, and you know what? The same skills are required to fish for fish as they are required to fish for men. So as we think about evangelizing, we have to apply some of the same techniques. So I was thinking through some of the techniques of fishing. For example, you know, oftentimes when you're fishing, it's how you wiggle the bait.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to fish slowly and let the bait bounce off the bottom of the water. Other times you have a quick retrieval. And there are different times and different methods for trying to catch the fish. Sometimes you have to twitch the line three times and then crank and so forth. Well, the same holds true when we are evangelizing. Sometimes we have to make our presentation slowly. Sometimes we have to be extremely patient with someone. You know, we're answering their questions, but we have to do it to satisfy their need to get the material. So sometimes it's slowly. Sometimes people just bring it all right in. It's amazing. You know, the other thing you know when you're a fisherman is if the fish aren't biting, change your bait or change your presentation of the bait.
Yes.
You know, we got to switch from hard baits to plastics or whatever. And the same is true for evangelization. Sometimes we have to switch our discussion. You know, we have to talk about the Bible. If that don't work, talk about the sacraments. If that doesn't work, you know, we switch it up until we can find the right method. And then there's this thing in fishing that the bigger the bait, the bigger the fish. You know, you ever see a young fisherman, he puts a worm on about the size of two fish and expects to catch one even bigger. Well, sometimes that's not true. Sometimes the biggest bass are caught on the smallest bait. And think about this, Gary. When you're doing sometimes a men's conference, and one of the attendees might come up to you and say, Gary, there was just one line, you know, you did a great hour talk, Gary, but there was just one line that spoke to me, one line that changed my way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we have to understand. Oftentimes, it isn't the big bait. It's just that dropping that one line and then letting the Holy Spirit take it from there. And then, the other thing that always we learn as fishermen is there are just some days they ain't biting.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to learn to close your tackle box and head home. And sometimes if we're trying to evangelize, sometimes the person we're talking to just isn't in the mood.
Right.
They're just not ready to receive the message. And you know what? We can do more harm than good if we continue to press on. Sometimes it's best to just stop and pick it up at a different time, a different situation. So whether you're fishing for fish or fishing for men, the rules are the same. And so you say, well, Jesus was pretty smart picking fishermen to be his apostles because they were fishing for men, and they used the same techniques as when they were fishing for fish. The other part of this I like, too. Couple of biblical things. One is, you know, when he went and Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 4, when he brings in Simon Peter and he brings in Andrew, these guys dropped their nets. These guys were making a living as fishermen. They made a pretty good living.
Yeah.
Right, but they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. And then there's a line after Jesus' death, but before his resurrection, and the apostles are sitting around and they don't know what to do, and they're still not aware that Jesus has risen. And Peter says, and they say, "What are you going to do?" And he says, "I'm going fishing."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, he went back to what he knew,
right.
And when following the resurrection, then. You know, this past week we've been reading. He brought 3,000 people in one particular day. This is what happens when we begin to fish for men. So we've got to be open to that, though. You know, I was listening to your conversation earlier. Churches are hurting in terms of attendance. I mean, I go to mass out in the West Coast a lot, and a parish at 10 a.m. on Saturday might be 1/4 full.
Wow.
And that's not the clergy's fault. That's not the priest's problem. That's all of our problem.
Right, right.
And we all have a responsibility to make our faith attractive to people. And it's how we conduct our own lives, you know. Preach the gospel at all times and occasionally use some words. By the way we act, by the way we treat people, the way we treat our family, the way we interact at work, these are the things that begin that fishing trip where we can bring someone back to the faith or we can bring someone to the faith.
Man, you really nailed it today, brother. I always love having you on the show because you have such practical advice. Tony, we have about a minute left, but what I like about what you just said, now, of course, when we evangelize, and we are all called to evangelize, you know, that's, again, as Catholics, sometimes we get a little touchy about that, and we don't like to do it, but we're called to do it. Jesus depends on us to evangelize. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit at work. But the Holy Spirit also expects us to use all of our resources. God gave us a brain. He gave us talents. He gave us the ability to, as you mentioned, sometimes maybe pull back, maybe change our approach. And I like your practical advice about that because certainly we do depend on the Holy Spirit, but we want to use all of our resources to the best of our ability so that we can evangelize to the best of our capability. Tony, again, thank you for joining us. Where's the best place we can follow you online?
Anyway, at Tony Agnese on all the social media sites, and TonyAgnese.com will get you to my website. Can I leave you with a real short little fisherman's prayer?
Please do.
I pray that I may live to fish until my dying day, and when it comes to my last cast, I then most humbly pray, when in the Lord's great landing net and peacefully asleep, that in his mercy I may be judged big enough to keep.
You are great, brother. Thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome to Fishing with Tony.
Tony Agnese. We'll talk to you next time. When we come back, our friend, singer-songwriter Marty Rotella will be here. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. FBI Director James Comey was speaking to agents at the FBI's field office in Los Angeles when the news of his firing broke. That's according to a law enforcement official who was present at the time yesterday. The official spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity because it wasn't authorized to discuss the situation publicly. The official says television screens in the field office began flashing the news, and Comey initially chuckled. A senior Republican senator is firmly backing the Trump administration's decision to supply Syria's Kurds with the heavier weapons they need to effectively fight the Islamic State group. The chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, says arming the Kurds is, quote, the only viable solution right now as an attack on the extremist stronghold of Raqqa nears. And Democrats have again fallen just short of an election victory as Heath Mello lost the Omaha mayoral race after a fierce debate within the National Party over his pro-life views. His loss yesterday was a setback for supporters who argued that the Democratic National Committee and abortion rights groups were wrong to attack the pro-life former state senator. Mello, a 37-year-old Catholic from Omaha's working-class South Side, had voted for abortion restrictions as a Nebraska state senator. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
My name is Frank Elias. I'm the Director of Operations for Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you for 18 years. We are blessed to serve you. As a listener-supported radio station, our success has always been based on the prayers, financial support of our listeners, but also the ideas and suggestions that they have for us. We're always looking to improve the listening experience. Please feel free to email me at frank@holyspiritradio.org. Thank you again for your continued support, and God bless you and your family.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Tom Zampino saw a lot of arguing going on both in the real world and online over political, religious, and cultural issues. Writing on his blog, he observed, "We don't love each other enough." Tom went on to say this, "Putting aside our very substantial and perhaps very legitimate differences for the moment, the next time that we feel compelled to respond to the person before us with spite, meanness, bullying, or out-and-out hatred, we need to understand that whenever we act without love, not only do we mock our own faith, but we also reject the direct command of Christ himself. In the end, we need to understand and live the message that it's not us against them. Rather, it's about God with us, Emmanuel." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Love. Fire fills the night as the light fills. answer deep within your soul.
And that was Spirit by Marty Rotella. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Let's take a quick look at the weather for the greater Philadelphia area right now. At the Philadelphia International Airport, the temperature is 52 degrees. Today it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 68. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 50. Thursday, increasing clouds with a high near 67. At the present time in Lansdale, it's 46. In Westchester, 48 degrees. And in Buckingham, it is 47 degrees. As I mentioned, that last song was by Marty Rotella. Marty Rotella is a good friend of ours, good friend of the program. He's been at the station before, and right now we woke him up bright and early from New Mexico to be with us. Hey, brother, good morning.
Yo, guy, what are you doing there, buddy?
Man, you sound wide awake.
Well, you know something, I tell you, I had a long plane flight yesterday.
Yeah.
And I got a good hour's sleep yesterday, 8 hours, and now I'm up, and I said, let me talk to the guys. I'm doing a mass right now after this, so I'm happy, man. How you doing?
Awesome. We are doing great, brother. Hey, Marty, listen, great. I want to talk to you a little bit about the theme. We have a recurring theme. It's funny how the Holy Spirit does this. We touched at the beginning of the show on church closings, and we read an article by Monsignor Charles Pope. He's written about church closings, and ultimately his theory was it's not all about the bishops, it's not the fault of the priests, the responsibility rests with us. We need to get out, we need to evangelize, we need to share Jesus Christ with people. Our last guest talked about the same thing, and it's funny how these things come about, and really I believe the Holy Spirit leads us. And you do such a good job evangelizing about sharing Jesus with others. Marty, what do you think some of the mistakes we make are? When we want to go out, even if we have the desire to evangelize, we often make mistakes. What do we do wrong?
Well, you know, yeah, one of the things is I read a book on St. Francis of Assisi. Now,
right.
St. Francis had the same problem back in his day.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus told him to rebuild the church. The key here, he never worried about the bishop, the priest, and all that stuff. He never bucked the system. What he did was he went out on the streets and he did what Jesus would do. He
right.
was Jesus. And that's what we have to do. I really believe it's a powerful thing. And, you know, he focused on the sacrament. You know, there's a lot of problems, but you want to know something? We got to keep the sacrament. Mm-hmm. If you're sacramental, if you're receiving that Eucharist, I'm not kidding you,
right.
you will have the strength, you will have the wisdom to go out there and bring people back. It's really powerful. So that's my recommendation.
And you do that so well. That's why I wanted to talk to you about this. You have been drawing people closer to Christ for so many years, and oftentimes you do it in a very subtle way. You don't necessarily get your Bible, go on the street corner, and say, Jesus needs you to repent. You go out, and you have a very good way, and a very effective way, letting the Holy Spirit work through you to draw other people to Christ.
Well, there are two points to that. The first point is you got to be Eucharistic to go out and do these things.
Right.
Because Jesus said, take an evil from my life. What led me there was my consecration to Blessed Mother. Mary doesn't leave me with him. And what happens is that if I go every day, I'll
right.
know just what to say on the streets. I'll know just what to do. What do I have to mention? I don't have to mention God. Something. Get into their lives. meeting somebody at a counter at a supermarket. How you doing? You know, you get into their lives. Once you get into their lives, they might say something like, oh, I got to have the operation next week. I'm a little scared. Or did you ever think of, you know, just calling on a prayer for Jesus? I'll be praying for you. You know, and boom, now you're talking about him. So the key here, mention them, you see him, and then what happened? They get into those lives.
Yeah, and that's true. And if you follow those promptings of the Holy Spirit, and as you say, if you daily Mass is an amazing thing. If you're able to receive the Eucharist every day, the sacraments is so helpful. Sacrament of confession, another life-changing thing in my life is the frequent confession. When you do that, you get that grace flowing through your veins. Then you're able to know the right words to use. Because, Marty, this isn't about Marty Rotella. It's not about Gary Zimek or Dave Parker. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. Right, brother?
You're right. And we didn't set it up. Jesus did. So I think he knows.
Yeah. Anyway, but you're very effective. You've been doing this. You're traveling all over the world, spreading the good news. I do want to let you know, Marty, we're having some reception problems with your cell. So, but you're coming in and out. But you sound good right at the moment. But we are having some problems, intermittent problems. Marty, I wanted to touch on something else. On Sunday, June the 11th, you're coming back to our area. You're going to be at the Malvern Retreat House for the Family Festival. Spirit in the Morning, we're going to be there broadcasting live. Tell us what we can expect from Marty Rotella at Malvern on June the 11th. You going to be singing?
Yeah. It's a family day, and it's awesome. I did it last year also. I'll be doing a concert.
Yeah.
But prior to the concert is the Mass, and I'll be doing music for the Mass.
Nice.
So it's going to be a wonderful day, and I can't wait to see everybody there.
Yeah, they're going to have...
Likewise.
And Dave Parker, they're going to have free food there, so...
I'm there. Anyways, what can I say?
But it's good. Yeah. Water, rice, pretzels, popcorn, hot dogs, hamburgers. Dave,
that's all right.
Okay. It's got your name written all over it.
I'll bring my apron and chef hat. I'll serve those who are there.
Hey, Marty, since we last caught up with you, you were here somewhere toward around the Christmas season. What's been going on? You're in New Mexico now. Where have you been? Where are you headed?
Right now we got a week in New Mexico. Tonight I'm at the Catholic Charismatic Center giving a Spirit Power concert.
Wow.
And then this weekend I'm at a St. Anne's in Santa Fe. We're doing a two-day concert, masses, and whatever for Our Lady of Fatima, the feast this weekend.
So wow, yeah.
And Father Bill Halbing's out here with me. He's going to be speaking, one of the best charismatic speakers, I think, in the country. So it's going to be an awesome week. Also, I just got back from Arkansas, and it looks like we're going to be opening up in Arkansas Spirit Power venture, a new venture down there with the Sacred Heart. It's really exciting how Spirit Power is starting to grow. And we're just going out, just keep spreading the word and doing what we can, you know.
Yeah, and depending on the Holy Spirit to lead you. Now, you're doing this full-time now, but prior to this, you were a teacher, weren't you?
That's right. I was a public school teacher for 31 years, and I retired 9 years ago. So it's been wonderful in the fact that I was a teacher. I can apply that to my ministry. And go out and just for all ages, you know, it isn't for me to give as much, you know, spiritual help I can until the day I die.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. You're not slowing up at all, I'll tell you.
No, man.
Marty, before we let you go, we have about 2 minutes left before we're at a break. What would you say to somebody who's listening and saying, that's great, Marty Rotella, he's out doing his thing, he has gifts, Dave Parker, Gary Zimek, there at Frank Eliason, they're on the radio, but me, Mr. Average Catholic, I go to Mass every Sunday, I'm not able to evangelize, I don't know what to say. What would you say to that person?
Well, the first thing is, you can't change anyone else, you can only work on yourself. So, if you want to make a difference in the world, stop complaining about everybody else, look in the mirror and say, what can you do? What can I possibly do to make this world better? To make my family better? To make my workplace better? And do it. Love more. Help. Go to see somebody. You know, somebody who has no sight. Can I do and make the beginning? St. Mother Teresa said, you start where you are and watch what happens.
Wow. Yeah, just do what you can. And a lot of times it starts in our family, in the workplace, in the store, being nice to somebody, holding the door for them, saying, you know, I mean, just such simple things. And we often overcomplicate this idea of evangelization. But it,
you're right on.
And it's easy to point fingers, too. My priest doesn't give good homilies. The bishop, he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, you know, it's everybody else's fault. But as you said, it starts with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's that's the message, right, brother?
You got it. You got it. I love you guys.
We love you too, Marty. Hey, Marty, listen, where can we follow you online? Where's the best place?
The best place to follow me would be scottmusic.org.
Okay.
Or just type in my name, Marty Rotella, into Facebook. I'll become your friend if you ask to become a friend request. And you can follow everything I'm doing on Facebook, Marty Rotella, or spiritpowermusic.org.
Great. And we're going to have that link, that spiritinthemorning.com. Hey, brother, we'll see you at Malvern in June.
Hey, I love you guys. I can't wait. And listen, thanks for the Spirit in the Morning. I need you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, brother. Love you too, Marty.
All right. That's our friend, Marty Rotella. You can find more out about his work at spiritpowermusic.org. Dave, we're having some phone issues, but
yes.
sometimes the cell coverage in the
throughout the country,
we run into trouble. But Marty's message was, it's a powerful one. He's an effective evangelist. And look, this is the theme today. You see what the Holy Spirit's doing with this show.
Yeah, come see him at Malvern, folks. I mean, he is an awesome guy.
But the Holy Spirit is guiding us all today. The Holy Spirit is in charge, reminding us that it's not everybody else's fault. It's our responsibility to share Jesus. You don't have to know everything. Start by being nice to one another. All right, when we come back, it'll be time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org, call us at 215-345-1570, or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Overcomer by Mandisa. I'm Gary Zimak. Now it's time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse today. We're going to go to St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do from the heart as for the Lord and not for others, knowing that you will receive from the Lord the due payment of the inheritance. Be slaves of the Lord Christ. Now, there's a lot in those two verses from St. Paul, and really, you might ask the question, how does that help me not to worry? Well, I think one of the biggest problems that we struggle with is when we go out, we have responsibilities. A lot of times, they're not fun. We have mundane duties, and we think, like, wow, if only I could be doing something more positive, more productive, making a difference. But St. Paul reminds us that whatever we do, cleaning toilets.
Yes.
I mean, whatever it is can be offered up to the Lord as prayer if we do it with that intent.
I love that. Right? Yes, I mean, absolutely true. Yeah. Whether they're menial or, I mean, a lot of people have grandiose ideas like, if I only get to this level, I'll be noticed.
Yeah.
You know? And then that's not what it's all about. It's serving. As Jesus said, be slaves to the Lord.
Yeah, and that and I talked about
that's
this.
Hard.
I talked about this passage on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN this morning, and one of the questions that Anna Mitchell brought up, a very good one, is that word slave. It's not a good word.
Yeah.
Bad connotation. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to her, and we talked about this a little, St. Louis de Montfort addresses this in his writings on total consecration to Jesus through Mary. He talks about the fact that a servant gets some sort of payment, a service. Mm-hmm. So if you're a servant, you expect a payment, a little one, but you expect a payment. A slave expects nothing in return. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that word has a bad connotation in today's day and age. Back in St. Louis' time, it meant
a lot
different.
It's all about context. It's all about context.
But the point is, what St. Paul is getting at here is when we serve the Lord, no matter what we do, we should try to do it expecting nothing in return. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we won't get anything in return. Mm-hmm. We get eternal life in return. But if we can have that mindset that whatever I'm going to do today, I'm going to do it for the Lord because I love him, not because he's going to reward me with all kinds of things. Again, that's not an easy way to feel. Yeah. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, gradually over time, we are able to feel that way.
Yeah, we should look at it as a quid pro quo. I'll do this,
there you go.
And the Lord will reward me. No, just do it. And
just
then,
do it.
And just and wait.
All right.
Just
now,
do it
now,
and serve.
Now, here's the theme today, Frank. I did not set out with this theme in mind, but all of our guests, the article by Monsignor Pope, this theme, the Holy Spirit's taking over here, it's up to us to make a difference in the world. Now, we can't ignore the elephant in the room, Dave Parker.
Hey,
I am
don't
not
look at me
making
when
disparaging remarks. But look,
I don't eat that much.
In all honesty, we did that article at the start of the show. Monsignor Pope is saying, hey, churches are closing. It's not necessarily the clergy's fault. It's we share the responsibility. Yeah. He's not saying that the clergy bears no responsibility.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And ultimately, I think they're, you know, hey, let's face it. The church had their scandal.
We can't deny it.
We can't deny it. Mm-hmm. But I would say there's something else that goes along with that, which is, you know, who really owns the church? Who owns the rights to the church? First of all, God owns the rights to the church. Mm-hmm. But we do through our hearts and our faith. Mm-hmm. You know, and it says, you know, that quote talks about living it from the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Ultimately, yes, those bad things did happen. Mm-hmm. But who is really that professor of the faith is in each of us.
Absolutely.
So I would suggest that it's also stepping back from all that. It's easy to go, look how bad these things are. I'm not going back there. Mm-hmm. And there's people that have that view. First of all, respect that view that people may have that. There's, you know, we have to win them back.
There you go.
And we have to win them back. And that's going to sometimes be hard. But we have to win them back in their hearts. And the best way to do that is through our own hearts.
Yeah, you mentioned the scandal. I mean, in most people's mind, it's the most recent scandal, which is heinous and horrific. But throughout church history, there have been scandals. Let's not...
Well, let's talk about this. Let's go back to the original bishops, the original apostles. Guess what? Judas was one of them, right?
Yeah.
Jesus knew what was going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a message there.
Yeah.
You know, we are... The bishops, the Holy Father, we're all human. We are all sinners.
Right.
Right?
We were to rise above that. I mean, we were to follow Jesus. As you just alluded to in the Be Not Afraid.
You know, and that's one of the reasons we feature the Christophers on the show. And in fact, Tony Rossi's going to be on with us tomorrow. The Christopher's message is all about what can I do personally to be a light in the darkness.
And that's what you have to look at. You know, we're not following priests. Mm-hmm. We're following God. We're following Jesus.
They are the guideposts.
And, you know, and at the end of the day, I'll tell you, I knew a lot of priests. They were the most offended in that whole entire thing and horrified.
I agree with you.
And so, that whole thing is horrible. I firmly believe that, and I understand why people would walk away.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, but we now need to win them back. We need to win them back by reminding them what faith is about. It's not about this building. It's not about this person at that foot of the altar. Mm-hmm. It's about Jesus Christ.
Well, two things. We're all in this together.
Yep.
And we're trying to empower people to remind them. Each of us has to be empowered to evangelize.
That's right. That's right. So that's the message. It's a positive message. The world needs Christ.
Yes.
The world needs Christ right now.
I've said it before. I think the biggest problem in the world right now is that lack of faith. I think it's huge, and I think it's compounding things. Mm-hmm. I think it's making matters much, much worse. We've lost faith. We've lost hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to bring that to the world. We need to bring that hope and that, you know, of the ultimate salvation to the world.
The good thing, I think people are still searching. Despite all the noise of the world,
of course people are
hungering.
That's right. And as Tony Agnese brought up the point, Jesus, you would think he would have chosen a bunch of PhDs for his apostles. Why would he choose us? Why would he choose Dave Parker, Gary Zimek, Frank Eliason, and everybody listening?
I think he chose me just as a joke so he can laugh at me, I think.
Oh, come on, Frank.
but that's what it's all about.
That was my line.
It's up to us to share Jesus with others today. So with that in mind, let's do our concluding prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, life of the faithful, glory of the humble, blessedness of the just, listen kindly to the prayers of those who call on you, that they who thirst for what you generously promise may always have their fill of your plenty. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. With that in mind, go out and share Jesus with somebody today. Be nice to somebody. Just share his love with somebody, whoever it is. Somebody in your household, somebody at the store, somebody at the gas station, wherever. Right,
as Tony and Marty say, I mean, you don't have to bludgeon them with a club. You know, be subtle, you know, but Jesus is love. You know?
We can each
share that.
That's the message. We all share that responsibility. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have Michael Israel with us. He's going to be talking about the Lehigh Valley Pro-Life Futures one-year anniversary party. Also, Tony Rossi will be on the show. Whatever you do today, wherever you go, remember that the Lord is with you. You know what to do. Turn around and tell him you love him. See you next time. Bye.